Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Where's the Punch Podcast, recording here at Ah Sushi in downtown Salt Lake City.
We do one of these podcasts like every week.
In the last every couple months of, week.
The last three
if by
weeks
week,
have been
you mean
awesome. They've been
three
like the
months.
Best shows.
Okay, if by yeah. week you mean 3 months. So Ben is finally on the show again. I finally dug him out of his hole he lives in.
In the winter, I live in a hole.
Like a hobbit hole, but not as cool as a hobbit hole.
Well, his wife sold me the house, so that's a pretty good explanation of my home.
Yes. Thank you.
It's kind of a hole in the ground.
So I am also joined here at Aha Sushi by two other lovely comedians, Christopher Stevens. Hello. Nicholas Smith.
Hey.
So we are here to talk about joke writing and jokes we're working on. If you're not familiar with the podcast, this podcast is all about joke writing. Talk to other comedians about the process they go through about joke writing. And then we talk a little about some jokes that we're working on, maybe some of those jokes we love, we can't get rid of, but aren't working at all with a paying audience. So,
ding, ding.
Ding, ding. So with that, let's start off with Ben. Ben, how's the joke writing coming lately?
How is the joke writing?
I actually had a bunch. I just don't remember them. They're in a notebook that I lost somewhere. But today, when I was driving over here, I was thinking, because we're in a sushi restaurant that is actually part of a bar, and I was just I thought it was interesting coincidence that yesterday I had sushi from Smith's. And you wouldn't think that someplace called Smith's would have
good sushi,
but it was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And that was I don't know where that was going.
We don't either. Any of you guys know where that was going? Anybody else?
I mean, if it was called.
It seemed like an endorsement more than anything.
Yeah.
if it was called Miyagi's Food and Drug, you would think, oh, they probably have good sushi.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Mogwai's.
But I don't even know if that joke is racist or not, so...
The racist, the better.
Yeah, so...
This is not a PC podcast, by the way.
No.
So I'm just throwing that out.
Rancho
that
Markets has great sushi, too.
Yeah.
Rancho Markets.
And Ben Burrito.
You got Alberto's and get there.
Beto says a fish roll. Fish burrito.
Well, with that, why don't we jump over to Christopher?
Let's get on to the comedy.
Yeah. Christopher, tell us a little bit about some of the joke writing. What do you do for the process of writing a joke? How does Christopher...
I kind of have like a thing where I'll have a story that is roughly personal or like personal experience. And then what I like to do and the way my character on stage goes is I get angry or yell about stuff. So I always make up another story to contrast the first story, and then I try to jump back and forth between the two.
Yeah.
And the made-up story is my somewhat inner dialogue that goes on all day long in my head. And then the premise is usually, like, somewhat of a true story, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I kind of have the same structure for most of my jokes, and I don't know if anyone's cracked my code yet.
Yeah.
Listening to my material, but it roughly goes the same way.
Yeah.
Every joke is set up roughly the same way with different scenarios.
Well, that's one of the things that I notice about when I listen to your, when you're on stage, I can mm-hmm. see that it is a storytelling.
Yeah. I have zero, like, one-liners. I have zero, I don't even know if you would call them jokes, but they're contrasting stories that make one funnier than the other.
Yeah.
One, well, what I love about you, Christopher, your set is, it's like, only you can tell those stories. Only you.
Yeah.
Nobody can take one of your jokes and retell it.
It would
make no sense.
I would love for someone to steal my material and then try to play it off.
We should do a tribute show and have people do your jokes.
I think that would be fun.
Over the last 10 years.
I would like to watch that.
It would be like a deathly quiet room.
Remember when me, you, and Tasha were driving home from the from the Ogden show, and we were trying to urbanize everyone's material.
We were doing
a like death comedy jam, like circa '89.
I kept throwing in the Adam Sandler that you gap tooth bitch, like off his like just audio comedy albums.
Oh yeah, that was
his sketch albums were really good.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I love about your stuff is, like, I am the opposite of you, right? Where you do storytelling. I do, like, a lot of, like, one-liners.
Yeah, well, that's something I'm always jealous of with other comics.
And I'm jealous of you.
I can't write a one-liner for my life. Yeah. Like, it sounds so hacky, and it is hacky when I try to do it. But, like, I've met some of my favorite comics I've met through doing comedy have been these, like, brilliant one-line comics that can write an hour and a half's worth of one-liners, which has got to be, like,
just memorizing
two to 300 jokes
in
like,
which they
insane.
Go. Yeah.
You can do so many jokes, like one-liners, in that amount of time, and they have a set that can fill
And you have one joke that lasts an hour.
But roughly, yeah. Most of my jokes, like, when I have, like, a five-minute set, I have a really
when
hard time
editing Christopher,
it
they're
down.
Like, look, we need you, how much time can you do? 1 hour. Can you do a half hour?
Nope.
Nope.
Just 1 hour.
Nope.
1 hour for all of
you. You can't even do, like, a couple jokes for
I
a half hour? Nope.
Joke.
It's one joke, and is an hour long.
You want two jokes, you give me 2 hours, double the money.
And that's the thing, like, with me, like, I've always wanted to be able to write story jokes. Uh-huh. And what I end up doing is taking a story or premise that's a long format and inserting all my one-liners into it to punch it up. That's how I do it.
Jamie has this great story about losing his dog. Taking his dog over to have it checked. And it's a hilarious story, but as stand-up comedy...
If I tell the story in, like, a setting like we're at right now, it's hilarious.
It's great.
If you do it on a stage, it just gets crickets.
And a lot of my material, and something I have a hard time with, and where I get frustrated with my own material, is that it's all energy-driven and inflection and basically my voice and putting energy into it. And when I'm not feeling, when the audience isn't into it, or it's not going well, it's really hard to push through to get those punchlines across, because a lot of the punchlines, I think, on their own, without the inflection of, like, yelling or being angry about it, it's not funny anymore. And now I'm just telling a story.
Yeah.
That's a problem I have when, like, shows are not going well.
So, Jason Harvey and I marveled at you when you did that, was one of the last K-Town comedy shows, and it got started late.
Yeah.
So, by the time you went up, the crowd
was like,
good
so drunk.
And drunk.
They were so drunk.
And you have to really pay attention to your material. You have to...
Well, there's stories.
Yeah,
like, if you
stories.
Miss the first part of the story, you're not...
You don't know what's
You don't know what's happening anymore.
And you... fucking plowed through that. You did it. You did a full half hour. Jason and I were like, when is he gonna pull himself off of the cross?
Yeah. It's shows like that where I sweat so much more on stage, like literally sweat, because I'm trying so much harder and it's not natural.
Yeah.
It comes across really forced, and that's where I think the downfall of my own material is that it has to be, like, it's an interactive experience without interacting from the audience, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, there's always that balance
there
that
has
people
to be,
talk about between performance and material.
I have to be given something, too, in order to continue. Otherwise, I'm just yelling for no reason.
I also, and in my day job, I tell event clients stuff this. You can't put... It's really hard to put energy into the audience.
No, they have
job.
To.
You have to. There has to be this kind of feedback
it's
going
back
on
and forth,
where you're putting energy and they're throwing energy back
at you, and that's where the downfall of my material.
If there's no energy in the audience,
it sucks. It's hard. But at the same time,
that was 4 years of comedy roadkill. Once a week was like no energy in the audience.
None.
Yeah.
But it also makes,
but
I
it
think
makes, it makes
shows like that
comics.
Make
it
makes
it
really
teaches
good
you
comics.
How to plow through, like mix that.
Michael Schooley, how we doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Another comic over here joining us for the podcast. You want to jump in on this podcast, Michael?
I'm stupid. I didn't realize you were going.
No, sit down.
I didn't see the big microphone in the middle of
the
table.
The giant thing.
The giant silver.
Schooley's got his Dan Haggerty going on here.
Hell yeah. Is that the beard and hair?
Yeah.
I don't know Dan Haggerty, I'm sorry.
I don't know the reference.
I get Grizzly
I
Adams.
It's Grizzly Adams.
Is it the same guy?
Same.
Is it the actor who played Grizzly Adams?
He nailed it.
Didn't he just die?
Yeah.
Oh,
Is his beard choked him?
It choked him to death.
We met in person.
I don't know if we
I don't know if we have. Christopher. Mike, nice to meet you. I've seen you on the face web.
Cut this part out, yeah. Jamie. Cut
this will not be edited. We want this moment to be captured on this podcast.
Like actual interaction meeting.
Yes.
Now the waitress is talking to Nick. Yeah. Nick is being very polite back.
Yes, Nicholas has just ordered some delicious sushi over here. Ah, sushi. This podcast is really not officially being brought to you by Ah Sushi, but we're gonna plug the
Nicholas
shit out of it.
Is invariably polite.
Yes,
I love.
So Nicholas, before you dive into that delicious plate of Ah Sushi,
oh, you're gonna torture me.
Yes. What? Tell us. Take us through.
Just gonna hang out there.
Take us through your joke writing process. How does Nicholas write jokes?
Can I premise this real quick?
Yeah.
Can I cut you off? This guy,
please.
He writes jokes, and this is just an outsider's perspective, obviously. But like he writes jokes like he's writing some sort of like novel. Like there's always another chapter.
Yeah.
To his jokes, and that's what I love it. Anyways, I'm sorry.
What I love about Nick is we think Nick is going to go to a certain point, and he goes so far beyond.
Way past.
That's like, I didn't even know there was a point that far out. Like,
I just came to the first point. The next point's coming up. The real destination.
Yes. Well, you went all the way around the world, back to the beginning, and circled again.
So my comedy writing started years ago, and I would write silly short stories. And I was really influenced by, like, Douglas Adams and Terry Pratchett, comic book guys like Ben Edlund of The Tick or Adam Warren who did The Dirty Pair. I really liked the way that all those guys wrote.
Yeah, so and all their porn stuff, all their bits on porn. And
yeah, I guess.
I see the resemblance. Yeah. Terry Pratchett's thing on anal sex was like one of the best things that's ever been written.
Right? Incredible.
Is it a thesis?
The part in the Discworld novel where Detritus and Angua go for it. It was like, wow. Like one person's gonna get that. But, so that's where, like, it started, and then eventually, I took people's advice and went into stand-up, and so I would carefully write everything and then try to memorize my set, but of course the anxiety and the nerves would come in and that would fuck me up. And I eventually realized I'm a spontaneous, silly person, but I also like to write and craft my jokes, and so I've learned to kind of marry those two processes together. So I'll take something I learned from George Carlin, where he would just sit down about a topic he wanted to write, and he'd just write. Wouldn't even worry about jokes or anything, just write, get all of his opinions and ideas out, and then just take out the bits that, were the most pertinent and had the most joke.
That's where I did it wrong, because I'm a lot that way, too. I would try to do something meaningful, but I couldn't memorize it. I write differently than I speak.
Yeah.
And I would write everything down and then realize there was nothing funny in it, so that I just stopped going up on stage.
That's a thing I had a problem with when I first started comedy, is I would deliver my comedy the way I am, like just me as a dude, person, guy, and it never worked. It didn't work well. And so now I kind of write for a character. Like, it's not me doing stand-up is not me in real life. Like, it's maybe an exaggeration of my angry inner monologue or my frustrations, but all of my jokes are written for that character. Like, it's not, like, I mean, I'm not
that. You're one of the nicest guys I know.
I'm not that mean. And people talk to my now fiance, ask her all the time after shows, like, what is it like dating that guy? They're like worried for her.
Do you need help? Do you need a way out of this relationship?
Like, it's not it's not
a thing.
Call this number. But that's something I struggled with, to like figure out how to voice my material, and it came up with a character. That's basically what happened.
So, Michael, you joined us spontaneously for this podcast. This is the Where's the Punch podcast.
Yeah, I've been on once before.
Yes, you have. So, Michael, take us...
We did this on stage with Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We did. Yeah.
And then Jason Harvey stole our idea, and he's had a show every month now for 4 years.
Uh-oh, the bitter Ben comes out.
Bitter Ben.
Bitter Ben.
Yeah, that's the only Ben.
So Michael, take us through your joke writing. How do you write jokes?
I have no idea how to answer that question. While he's talking, I'm trying to think, like, they're probably going to ask me this. I'm going to duck out.
You're
going to
get
a
out.
Chance to.
No. If you're going to rudely interrupt the podcast, you're going to rudely be in the podcast.
Yeah, Michael.
I do not know how I write my jokes. Stuff comes
it's just
to mind
a God-given gift. It's just... bestowed on you.
Spontaneous joke writing.
I met a ton of comics that just, that's their answer to that.
Yeah.
It comes to mind.
It's like a whole like bullet point kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And I can do bullet points while I'm developing material, but I can't do bullet points when it's complete. I like to write it all out. And really like use different vocabulary that I think makes it funnier. I know a ton of comics that say that all the time. That they're just like, no, it's just like kind of all up in here, and I know the jokes the way they're gonna go. And
I started on Twitter, like years before I started doing stand-up. I didn't think I had any material to do, and so I would tweet when I'd come up with an idea. It's like kind of a way to save my ideas.
It's like a catalog kind of thing.
And so. And I still, like, I check TimeHop now, like, just to see what I've tweeted in the past and see if I can work it into material.
Yeah.
Like, see if I have any bits that I'm doing now that I can relate to old stuff I came up with that I've never done on stage. Like, so I guess sort of for me it's kind of just a cloud of, like, one-liners, like, single bits, like, Twitter jokes.
Yeah.
And then I kind of work them together into longer bits. Like, I kind of, like, sew them together like a patchwork joke quilt, sort of.
Yeah.
In a way.
You know, you can go on and download your entire Twitter history.
Yeah.
That sounds terrifying.
And then a spreadsheet, you can just...
Employers do it every time you apply for a job.
Actually, there's a service called Twime Machine that it'll take you back quite a ways. And I know.
What a shitty name.
And I'll just...
Well, that was not a word comedian who came up with that name, so...
Yeah.
Anything with a TW at the beginning is a Twitter anything.
Yeah.
And then I just, like, control F, I just, like, search for a word, and, like, sometimes I'll just do that and see what, like, tweets I've had that kind of are on the same topic. So I guess that would be an answer to that question. I don't know how I come up with my jokes, just whatever occurs to me. But then how I, like, build my bits is kind of by, like, seeing what works with what other jokes I've already done.
What flows to the next joke. I do the same thing where I'll take a list of all the jokes I've written and then kind of structure them and put them in categories where I can hop from one to another.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of makes sense. Really it makes it seem like I'm talking about the same subject, but in honesty, it's like 15 different jokes that are randomly written.
But it makes it seem like makes a longer it, yeah. story or a subject yeah. matter, at least.
Yeah,
yeah. And it like works individual jokes into bits just accidentally. Like I think everyone kind of has their own like wheelhouse of what they kind of write jokes about, stronger than other people or whatever. So I don't know.
Awesome.
So
is anybody working on anything that they've been struggling with, anything that you premises that you've got on top of hand that we can talk a little bit about? If you don't, I've got one.
I'm working on a bit still in its infancy. I'm still trying to work it out, but it's just, I'm going back to my origins and trying to figure out why I'm kind of the way I am now as an adult. I'm going back to my early school years. Because, like,
sounds hilarious. That's...
Yeah. Yeah. So, sad and depressed.
I'm going back to being bullied.
Being bullied and picked on and the suicidal tendencies and everything, and one of the things I talk about is, like, one of the things that made me so bummed out is, like, I wanted to die. I just couldn't, like, figure out how to carry it out.
Figure out an artistic, creative way of doing it that wasn't so hack. Everybody's done that.
Charles Rocket stole naked in a field with a sword, so.
Okay.
Now what?
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be just a journey on, you know, childhood bullying and and early childhood depression, suicide.
Do you feel like you do a lot of like stage writing, or do you think you like when you go up on stage, even in an open mic, you have like some sort of a like you know what you're gonna say?
It depends. I'm kind of allowing myself to be a little looser these days. I like to go to the U mic a lot. That's a really good workshop mic. And I'll have ideas, I'll have things written down, but then what comes out of my mouth, you know, I just kind of go with the flow, kind of keep it a little organic and spontaneous. And then I record everything, and then I'll go back and take out what worked and write it down, and then slowly start to shape it and mold it into something. And I do a lot of that in, you know, Notepad, and then go back and then try out the refined material and see how that goes.
Nice.
From there, so. So that joke, you know, I opened up, was like, you know, I was, you know, very suicidal as a kid, but, you know, clearly I could never figure out how to do it. It's just like, come on, little Nick, it's not that hard. Pick a truck, jump in front of it. Duh.
So. Even yourself was bullying yourself. So it's like, God, Nick, you're such a pussy. Just get this done.
Exactly. And I still have that bully inside of me. He's an asshole. So, yeah, like I said, very much in its infancy, but that's how it opens.
Awesome. Awesome. Christopher, how about you? Anything?
I don't know why it's not working. I've been working on the same joke for probably close to 6 months now, and it's written in about trying to quit smoking and how hard it is, but how annoyingly not hard it should. Like, it shouldn't be this hard, basically. And most of it's like my inner monologue of like arguing with myself, like trying to give myself reasons why I smoke, which is like, oh, you get breaks from work.
And the pros and cons.
Pros and cons list. Yeah. So like the pros and cons I've come up with is like, oh, I get breaks from work. It looks cool.
Yeah.
It kind of looks cool.
Maybe kids
might like it. Or you might get like that sexy like Tara Reid voice forever. And then the cons are like cancer, and then also the sexy Tara Reid voice that you might have forever. And then I went as far as trying to quit smoking,
you get time off with chemo.
You get out of work anytime you want to go to chemo. I might steal that. But the other aspect of it that I was trying to write too is I went so far to download like an app that like clocks your non-smoking time down to a science where they're like, it texts you when you've not smoked for so long, and then it gives you the benefit of what your body's doing at that time. Like, oh, your blood pressure has returned to normal, or your chance of lung cancer has dropped by like 50%. But then you get so many of those goddamn texts, you think like people are texting you. And then you pull out your phone and it's just got this stupid app, so you're just mad at the app.
You get a text that says, congratulations, Christopher. You haven't smoked in 5 hours. And the first thing you think is like,
non-smoking commercial.
I better have a cigarette.
It turns out to just be an app that reminds you when you should smoke.
Usually you smoke
around this time of day.
The non-smoking ads, like the anti-tobacco ads where they're like squishing out an esophagus that has like all this like crud in it. And I'm just like, God, that was really stressful. I need to smoke right now. It's just like the stresses of that, but for some reason it doesn't land like when I'm on stage trying it out.
So let's talk. No, I apologize. Let's talk a second about the anti-smoking ads because
they
have that lady whose throat she's like talking through it.
Like the fucking crypt keeper.
Yeah, and we all know that that's not
typical
of everybody. If that happened to everybody, then yeah, that commercial is probably.
I'm not oblivious. Like, I know smoking's bad for me, but at the same time, like I do a lot of shit that's bad for me. Like, I don't know. Aspect about it, like whether the effects of smoking is like that harmful to me, or am I just gonna keep doing it? But so far, I just keep doing it.
Nick, the suicide stuff—you just take up smoking.
Yeah, really.
It's a slow crawl, honestly. It hasn't done shit yet.
Yeah, it'll be faster than you're working on it now, though.
So. Yeah. That might help with the weight loss.
So I've got a premise that I've been... I just was thinking, it's really not even... This is a very rough... You know when you have an idea that's so vague and rough that there is no joke at all in it? It's just an observation. This is at observation point, right? So what it talks about, like, just names and how some names that people have are cool and some aren't, but some that are cool shouldn't be. So, for example, this is my example, Bob Marley, right? Bob Marley... You say Bob Marley, you say awesome, cool, way cool cat, right?
Right.
But don't forget the fact that his name was Bob. The whitest, Bob. Most uncool name. He sounds like an asshole dentist at this point when you just call him Bob. And it's I always wondered, like, did people call Bob Marley? Like, would you have the guts to go up and be like, hey, Bob?
What's up, Bob?
Hey, Bob.
Has he ever been referred to as Bob?
I know a number of Bobs. They're all much older than I am.
Yeah.
And they're not anywhere touching cool.
Cool at all, right?
No.
Like, the Bob is like, the like when he was born, they're just like, how did you get the name Bob and then become the coolest?
The B.O.B.
Dude.
Same goes for a lot of names where, like, you only ever say their first and last name like that. Like Bob.
It has to be together, right?
Yeah. George Carlin, but George.
George.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one would be like... Hey, George.
Yeah.
You know George? He's pretty funny. George isn't funny. There's no funny Georges. But you say George Carlin, it's like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at with this. Like, I have no joke here, but I just think that the concept is hilarious that Bob by itself is...
I think you should just go through names. Like, you got, like George or Bob or, like... Tom.
Yeah.
Or
I was thinking, like, what? Like,
go through some really boring names, and then you can go through, like, douchier names. Like, Brad Pitt is obviously a very cool dude, but Brad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's running.
Sounds like an asshole.
A frat part. Like, that guy is gonna, like.
Yeah, but I suspect Brad Pitt's running a frat party, too.
Well, sure, but just the name Brad or, like, Tyler.
You say Brad, there's a very specific.
I've never met a Tyler that I'm like, dude, you're so awesome.
You're, like, way cool. I wonder what, like, Bob Marley's middle name, too, was. Like, does he have an even wider, uncooler middle
William.
Name? Yeah, but, like, Bob Stan.
Call me,
like,
Bob Bill, for short.
Yeah. I wonder, like, when he was born, they said, well, what are you going to name him? And the mother says, we will name him Bob. And the father was like, no, this is Bob Marley.
Well, that would be their last name already.
Yeah.
You know, that is what they'll call him. This is Bob Marley Barley.
You just Bob Marley always Marley. Call him that.
Just do not refer to him as Bob.
He's not Bob. He's Bob Marley.
Bob Marley.
Just always Bob Marley, so.
Robert Nesta Bob Marley.
Oh, you just looked it up?
Yeah.
No, I like Stan better. I like Stan as a middle name.
Bob Stanley.
Bob.
Stan.
Robert Stanley.
Steve.
Bob. Steve.
Bob Steve.
Bob Marley. Steve Marley. Bob Steve Marley.
Bob Steve Marley.
Robert Jacob Marley.
Yeah, just
I've always been a fan of names. I mean, not that I would name my children this, but I've always enjoyed names that sound like you're complaining when you say them, and you add this to it, but like names that have like long, like I know a girl named Kareen, but you can't say her name without like Kareen. Like,
it sounds like you're whining right off the bat.
Like Corey or anything with an E on the end of it, I think you're safe to just be like, you're just bitching at that
you
point.
You just sound
at all
like
times.
Annoyed that you have not
Tommy,
to say their name.
Like,
oh, that's awesome. Michael, anything before you stuff some sushi down your throat?
I got 3 rolls of sushi. I couldn't decide. I'm really.
Yeah.
You're There's very a, eager.
I guess. There's a bit of a. I guess a bit of a joke that I thought of that I've been trying to think of a way to work into a like an onstage bit. I was listening to, it doesn't matter what I was listening to, but Men in Black, the song came on.
I love that song.
So first, wait. What were you listening to when Men in Black, the song, came
out? It was just a weird remix album where someone remixed a bunch of old songs with a bunch of other old songs, and Men in Black was part of it.
Will Smith got me through a lot of hard times.
Yeah. Summertime.
I bought multiple Will Smith albums.
Welcome to Darkness.
Miami.
It made me think about, like, Men in Black, the song, and, like, Wild Wild West. And a time when Will Smith was allowed to just write theme songs for his movies. And I looked it up, and Men in Black won the Grammy for Best Rap Song
that year.
Isn't
that awful? He didn't even write the song. He used a background. Like, the background is, like, I'm pretty sure, I don't know which one Men in Black is, but he basically uses, Wild Old West is a Stevie Wonder song.
Yeah.
And he uses Diana Ross all the time, and, like, none of the songs he actually wrote, he just raps over them.
Yeah.
The scenario I came up with in the Facebook post, which is, it's impossible to do on stage, I think, in the way I wrote it, was, like, it was like a quoted conversation where, like, I lived through a time when Will Smith was allowed to write his own songs, then, like, the audience falls silent, and then, and they would win, they would win awards, and then, like, World War III veterans bow to me, or whatever, like, in reference. Just, I think that's a funny idea, the idea of, like, being traumatized by living through a time when Will Smith was able to write songs that they'd become hits, like, for his movies. Like, bounce with me, just bounce with me, take a walk with me, make your neck work. It's like,
that's off the album Big Willie Style.
That's
by
not the album Big Willie Style.
I still have that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey guys, thanks for being on the podcast. How can everybody follow you? Nicholas, how can people find you?
On Twitter at Nick Smith Comedy, or find my comedy show, Dungeons and Comedy, on Facebook.
Oh, which is a fun show, by the way.
That's a monthly show, right?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
That's a very fun show. Michael, how can people follow you?
I'm Mike is a joke on pretty much everything. Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram.
That's a good handle.
Thank you.
Yeah, I need a better handle.
Yeah. Christopher, what's your handle?
Topher Complains is my Twitter handle. And then
just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, Facebook, it's Comedian Christopher.
Awesome. Ben?
Don't
follow Ben, whatever you do.
Do it.
Don't follow
Ben Fuller. B-N-F-U-L-L-E-R. Glasses.
I'm old and bland and boring.
Yes. And then
Cult Classics versus Comedians.
There we go. Plug Cult Classics versus Comedians for a second.
Cult Classics, a web series that Jamie hosts with comedians talking about cult classic films. And you can find it on Facebook at facebook.com/ Cult Classics versus Comedians.
We also have the Channel 801.
Channel 801, which is a local short film showcase, which is free. And you can find that at the Channel 801. We have that monthly at Matagogo in downtown Salt Lake City. And that's fun too.
Yep.
I host that.
Yes.
Because I can talk movies.
You can talk movies. Yeah.
And then, of course, you can follow me at Twitter at Jamie Maxfield, and follow me on Facebook, and then, of course, on the other projects I work with Ben on, Channel 801 and Cult Classics versus Comedians, and, of course, Where's the Punch podcast. Hey, guys, I want to thank you guys for being on the podcast. I want to thank Ah Sushi for allowing us to record here today.
Mm-hmm.
And look forward to seeing you guys again at some local comedy clubs around.
Thanks, everybody.
Yay!
Thanks for letting me crash it.
Mm-hmm.